I'm associate producer Jillian Park. Fort Wayne, Indiana was home to a massive 1.2 million square foot GE Electric Works that chugged along from the dawning days of the 20th century until it closed up shop in 2015. Fort Wayne visionaries have been busy rebirthing the old manufacturing plant into a multi-use facility that includes corporate offices with Do It Best as an anchor, a trendy Union Street market, co-work spaces, and residential housing encompassing more than 720,000 square feet of the old plant. To discover the rest of the story, come along and join Electric Works' Katie Silliman, Director of Experience.
At one point during World War II, it employed 25% of the Fort Wayne population.
And Kevin Biggs of Biggs Development. Biggs is leading the reuse charge, creating inviting co-work and incubator startup spaces, artist lofts, corporate offices, and so much more. Biggs also takes us on an illuminating walking tour of the rebirthed GE Electric Works.
Here's the surprise in the basement. We've got bowling alley. This was part of the rec facility.
I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Fort Wayne, Indiana.
I'm Katie Silliman, Senior Experience Director at Electric Works in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And we are currently sitting on the terrace just outside of the co-working space here at Electric Works with Dynamo Alley just off to our north.
Implicit in your title is a pretty wide casted net.
It is.
So tell us about what the breadth is that you showcase.
We're still within our first year of opening the Electric Works campus, mm-hmm. which was previously under the ownership of General Electric. For most of the last 100 years was a 39-acre manufacturing site here in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
When did GE close?
I believe they closed officially in 2015, and so then there was a large debate within the community. This was such a huge site. At one point during World War II, it employed 25% of the population
wow.
of Fort Wayne. It's impossible to take people on a tour of campus and not have somebody that either worked here or their grandparent worked here or their aunt worked here. So the community has been very invested in seeing something happen with the campus. And people really didn't want to tear it down. They wanted to see it revitalized, very much like it is today. That was such a huge undertaking. So I joined the team in July of last year to help operate campus once it was opened.
Tell us about vision, your best hope.
So I think we are trying to create a community space. There oftentimes you hear about, kind of talk about it from a community gathering component, and that every individual, their first place is their home, their second place is where they work, and then a third place is where they may congregate with coworkers, other community members. Right now we're definitely a third space where the community is coming together, and in the next phase we will be adding a residential component. Then we truly be a fourth space where mm-hmm. you can spend all of your time here. Truly we're trying to hit that sweet spot of being a really diverse 18-hour experience, so you could come for breakfast, stay and work, maybe have friends come join you for lunch, and then music at night. Really that space where not only can we celebrate the history of Fort Wayne, but people can come together and celebrate the moments of their life. Another important that was really critical for us was having a farm market. We're really about supporting the history, supporting local, you know, really what is it that makes Fort Wayne truly tick, and so we're trying to find a way to incorporate anyone that is a producer, a creator, an innovator, make a space here for them at Electric Works.
So like incubators?
Yep.
Yeah?
Yep, definitely in that space. We haven't landed on the specific way that that will happen, but there's been a lot of discussion of, is there a way that we can incorporate the history of manufacturing and the innovation that happened in that space? And perhaps there's a way we can bring back that next chapter of innovation around manufacturing here at Electric Works.
Rolling back in time.
Yes.
What did they make here?
They made a lot of motors, pretty much within any GE appliance that you can think of, there's some sort of motor component, and that was the main focus here at the site.
So tell us a little bit more about like where we're at right now. Like you said, it's incubating.
With that incubation innovation perspective, the real focus was, is there a way that you could start as a one-person shop and then grow into, say, 100, 200-person commercial space. And so we're in the key space for campus where that one-person shop would start. So this is co-working. It's in the basement of Building 19. It's really cool, super modern. There's a lot of kind of community spaces even within networking and a lot of flexible plans. So you can have a desk, you can have an office.
Didn't we just walk through
We did walk through it, yep. You can even have a cafe plan. They did an amazing job of even just fitting out about the common areas. And so you can just hang out in any of the little nooks and crannies and do some work. So there's a lot of different options for people to start and work here on campus. You can go across the street to Union Street Market for lunch. But say you, hopefully, you grow your business and you need larger space. Perhaps you need a 10-person office. So then we have suites for that where they're partially completed. And so you can move in pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. And then we even have large, like 100,000 square foot spaces people. So
up over your shoulder.
Yeah.
What's up there?
You see building 19 behind me and building 26, and there were walkways actually that connected the buildings so workers could go from one building to the other, particularly in inclement weather. Mm-hmm. It's really fun. One of our owners has turned the fourth floor walkway into a conference room.
Oh, wow.
It's been really cool to see how people are retrofitting the space for more current needs.
So who's up there now?
In building 26, we have our anchor tenant, which is Do It Best. It's their global headquarters for a lot of the Do It Best and Ace Hardware stores across the country. So they are fully occupying the third, fourth, and fifth floor of building 26.
And how did you get them?
They were looking, you know, I think there's been a lot of discussion about how do you create cool spaces where people want to come and work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we spend most of our lives at our work location. Talent has always been a huge issue for businesses across the country, even more so now post-pandemic, especially when different businesses are trying to bring people back into the office.
So attraction and retention.
Attraction and retention, for sure. Yeah. And so that was critical for Do It Best. They're their own sort of innovative story here in Fort Wayne.
So they were birthed here?
They were birthed here originally, and then many, many, many years later, that's the largest privately held company in the state.
Kind of the mothership of Ace Hardware?
Yep, Ace Hardware and Do It Best. Yep. Uh-huh. That's been a fun, and to see how they've always been a huge supporter of community, but really taking their community engagement to the next level here at Electric Works has been just really cool to see.
Anything on the close, palpable horizon of you guys are recruiting tenants and people to come?
Sure. We have a couple of different strategies that are under discussion for launching some sort of a incubator accelerator in a more formal way. Those are all still in their discovery phase. You know, with the nature of the food hall, we opened at almost full occupancy. We've had some turnover, but we're getting ready to announce two or three new merchants in that space. So that will be really fun just to see how that food experience continues to evolve over time.
Is there any parallel community center in Fort Wayne, or is this what you're building is creation of a new dimension?
There's nothing that's this large and this comprehensive. Mm-hmm. There's cool spaces that are just south of the riverfront that runs through downtown, you know, park setting, some other developments. That's the other space of real true momentum in the community. I think the thing that's so unique about Electric Works is it's such a big space.
I hate to say it, wind is picking up. We're getting crackling.
An
intrinsic and implicit in the vision and the project is part of the equation evolving Fort Wayne in its diversity.
Yes.
In its dynamism.
Yes, yeah. For sure. And I think another component is that this project is one of the largest projects that really is in that border space between the true commercial space. It's also surrounded by both a diversity of economic statuses in terms of the neighborhoods around campus. So I think with any project, pretty much anywhere in the country, you fight with that. You want to revitalize an area, but you also have to combat gentrification. And are you staying in touch with the community? Are you able to provide that wide range of offerings? And we have some work to do in that area.
That's a delicate balance,
isn't
it?
Yes, yeah. It is. Especially because we're creating space where we're bringing multiple businesses together. And so we...
And if you're successful, it becomes really dynamic.
Yes.
And then implicit rates and costs start going up.
Yes.
And so then the neighborhood around gets gentrified.
Yeah. Yes. And so we're trying to find ways that we can provide the lower priced offerings that we can help in that affordability space, not just around housing and around food costs. That's challenging for us. Our market is full of startup businesses. So they're all business owners just trying to make it.
Yeah, struggling.
Struggling. So there's a lot of pressure on them to make the money they need to stay open. It's a constant conversation to try to make sure we're all moving in the right direction.
Back to your vision for build out as a community residential location. When you're built out, how many people would live here?
It'll come in a couple different phases. And Kevin Biggs, who you'll be speaking with next, he actually one of the leads on the residential component.
Oh, cool.
So he can correct anything for me. But initially, somewhere around 250 residential apartments is the first phase of residential. But in the phase after that, there will be additional. But in that first phase, there will be a component of those apartments that are low income across the board, not age dependent. And then there'll be a portion of the housing that will be affordable senior housing.
Okay, so you're, in a sense, making a holistic community, a village.
We're trying.
So in the perfect world, you could easily live here, reside here, and not have anything more than a bicycle for your transportation.
That's the goal.
Right?
Yes, for sure.
Yes.
Really have that ease of accessibility and walkability. So we're starting to see some of that.
And your public transportation is such that bus stops.
We're working to bring it back. So that's one of the big challenges, which I didn't really appreciate until working here. So this manufacturing facility, it slowly declined in presence of people. So it was like death by a thousand cuts. And so as it's declining and people coming to campus over decades, the infrastructure went away from here.
Uh-huh.
And so the community was trying to figure out how can you get past the space as fast as possible. So they weren't maintaining the bus stop here. There's no bike routes here. The sidewalks weren't great in and around the campus. And so we know that all of those need to be improved, but oftentimes that type of infrastructure, it takes time.
Yeah, but it's on the
It's definitely on the hit list, and we are constantly in communication with the city and the different organizations that are working on bike trails and what have you to see how can we make this a priority and what do you need for us to do to make that a reality.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. But you don't have any big mountains or hills.
Nope.
It's a very accessible town, even for a biker.
It is. And we've seen a huge growth in the biker community, motorcycle and cycle community. And so that's been really fun to see. We've had a couple of different events where either you have all the bicycles lined up along Dynamo Alley or all the motorcycles lined up along Dynamo Alley.
Oh, how funny. And back to you. Your scope of things you work on priority-wise day in, day out.
So I'm responsible for the public programming of campus and the team that executes that program. I'm also oversee the Union Street Market staff, so work with them in terms of supporting the merchants located in the market, helping to recruit new merchants. So really try to touch all the spaces and do what we can in these early days to activate campus.
A festival, an event.
Oh, yes. We had...
Gives you a double whammy, right?
Yes, and I think that's kind of our biggest challenge because there's a lot of those foundation operational elements that we need to get up and running. You know, your accounting system, the way you interact with the merchants, how you all stay on the same page, and then at the same time do all the event planning and execute the events. So that's, for us, has been the biggest challenge. It's been fun to see.
Have you had any events, festivals, or art fairs or whatever here?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we had Meet the Machines was a really fun event. I think one of the unique factors of campus is that we have a large street that runs through the middle of campus that we own. So we can close it down when we need to. So in the middle of the workday, we had all the construction companies and the public safety organizations come with their big vehicles and their big earth movers park them all along the alley. And so all the families showed up and the little kids got to interact with them while people are leaving. You know, the Do It Best employees are heading out for lunch.
Uh-huh.
So that's been the most exciting and gratifying is that you see such a collection, an eclectic mix of people here on campus every
Farmers day. Markets.
Farmers Market on Saturdays and Wednesdays. We've had art festival. We had music performances along Dynamo Alley. We're going to do a big Halloween event.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, find ways to make this a space where you can celebrate all the holidays and the life moments here.
And intrinsic, I assume, in your model, one is for entertaining on-campus residents and whatnot, but very much the surrounding neighborhood, making this is their community center. Correct?
Yes. And that's really like one of our first public community events was led by one of our merchants, Cam and Brittany Brooks, to do the barbecue in the market. They do an annual trunk or treat event and they asked if they could do it on here. So before campus was even opened, we held that event in a parking lot and we had hundreds of people from the community. And that was really cool and inspiring. They thanked Cam and Brittany because no one had done a big event like this for the kids in the community in a while, and they were great. grateful to see that.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And how about you? How'd you get here?
Oh my goodness.
Where did you come from?
So I'm born and bred here in Fort Wayne. I did a short stint after college in the Peace Corps. So I lived in West Africa for a period of time, but then came back here and have just always been connected to community and lived in the neighborhood just north of here.
Oh, wow.
So I was driving around this campus. I grew up with this and I was always thinking, man, it'd be so cool to be a part of making it come alive again. Mm-hmm. And so when the job was open, I applied and here I am.
Cool. I love it. To learn more about your world,
we can be found at fwelectricworks.com. And my name is Katie Silliman. I'm the Senior Experience Director here at Electric Works.
Katie, thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from Fort Wayne. We'll see you here.
So Tom, Kevin Biggs, I'm one of the development partners for the project here where we're sitting, which is Electric Works here in Fort Wayne.
Explain a little bit about the development partners.
Believe me, it takes an entire community to accomplish something like this, but it was really the vision set forth by my partners and myself dreaming about what this campus could be in its next life and paying homage to kind of what's been here for the past 130 years and how General Electric used this campus. And kind of the real vision we set forth is what we defined as an innovation district, where we really want this to be a heart of innovation, hence the space here right inside these doors in the basement of Building 19. Our innovation space is really kind of the heartbeat of this campus. And as we shared this vision with a lot of people early on, like, what makes you think we can be this innovation hub in Fort Wayne, Indiana? Like, isn't that San Francisco and Baltimore? And, and I say, well, if you actually are astute and you look at the history of Fort Wayne on this property, this was an innovation hub 100 years ago around this newfangled technology called electricity.
Going way back.
Way back. So we have this incredible lineage in our DNA around innovation here. It's just unfortunately a lot of the more recent generation, including kind of myself, we've forgotten that. And we need to go back and actually look to our roots. And we realize, holy cow, we did this before. Mm-hmm. And I ask people, what made Fort Wayne, Indiana such a special place that people from around the world flocked here around the innovation called electricity? What was it? What was special? We don't have mountains. We don't have a beach. It was simply someone's idea.
You know, yeah, Indiana in American history, you would see it as being more like a Detroit in my mind. Back east, like you said, Baltimore. But why Fort Wayne?
It's an interesting question to ask. And I think the answer is there really wasn't anything compelling other than there were some ideas that came together. There was thought leadership here that was contagious.
Well, that's what I was thinking. There has to have been some dynamic person that have great sales ability, you know.
Exactly. We're just saying, listen, we're just recreating the past that's already been successful here before. So it's been fun, and it's been a ride, and hey, we're just getting started. I mean, we just finally got the real estate delivered here back late at the end of last year. So we're on the path of obviously filling the space, but really also then igniting the innovation space here, which is kind of where we're just on the cusp of launching that too.
That being said, on the horizon, what projects are palpable in your mind that you're hoping to bring home and bring here?
So, and I think Katie touched on this earlier too, is we really need to continue to activate the space with other uses. So we create this 18-hour day. You know, right now we've got the food hall, which was awesome when it opened up and still is awesome today as we continue to refine that into kind of the best populace that can be in the food hall. But other than that, there's not a lot that's driving the public here. Right. So what are some of the other activity-wise things that we can drive the public?
One thing you touched on that I love is that whole live, work, movement in America.
Yeah.
I mean, 10 years ago, you get out of some downtown urban areas, and after 5 p.m., it's a ghost town.
Yeah.
And that's no longer so. You know, Green Bay, Wisconsin did a masterful job in their urban core. But it's like changing of the shift. In a perfect world, people that work here might go home, but people that live here might come home.
Exactly. To that point, the next initiative that we're taking on is the second phase here of Electric Works. And around the parking garage over here, the north side of the tracks, we're going to build 296 apartment units.
Freestanding.
So it's a multifamily building that will literally come over and see the garage. There's two sides of that garage that are just a big concrete wall. We're actually going to face right up against the garage and hide the facade of that garage. So the West Central neighborhood folks here will look up instead of seeing a big concrete wall from a garage, they'll see a beautiful apartment complex. It's actually a mixed income apartment community, so about 70% will be conventional market rate apartments, and then about 30% will be affordable with a senior affordable component to that. So we'll be able to really attract a diverse mix of folks here that will have literally this campus in their backyard.
I know it's contextual, but what would be an average rent to move in here?
I have to be a little careful because people say, well, what a rent's going to be? Well, we're not going to deliver this space for about 2 years as we get construction started, and we look at what happened to rents in the past 2 years.
And it could go the other way.
It could go the other way, too. Doubtful, but it could. Yeah. But we're probably in the $1.50 to $1.70 a square foot will be the range of pricing. That's for the market rate. Then the affordable follows an affordable guideline that's really set forth by, in this case, HUD or through the IRS and the tax credits we use to fund that.
So part of the incentive is tax credit benefit that gives you a stimulus.
Correct. We are using what's called the housing credit. It's a federal tax credit. We received an allocation about 2 years ago of those credits, and we'll monetize those credits to build the affordable component.
And a little bit about your background. How did you wind up doing this?
So, yeah, interesting story. So the housing piece really is home to me because my family business was started in 1959 by my grandfather, started a little home building company.
Oh, wow.
Third generation, just me now. We still...
Around here.
Yep. I grew up in county just south of here in Decatur in Adams County. Now I live over in Huntington County, but Northeast Indiana is my home and is kind of the main area we do my business work in the about 11 or 12 county region here in Northeast Indiana.
So residential or commercial?
Residential. We develop subdivisions and build homes. We build around 100 homes a year in this region. And we also have development side where we develop and manage apartments as well. So we have an apartment management company and develop apartments. So this will be much in my wheelhouse. But how did I land here in this role? So really, it's interesting, you know, being here in the community. I'm from here, lived here. I've driven up Broadway all my life, and this is part of the landscape that went by, you know, these big old buildings, and you just kind of...
What's part of it for you, the temptation, the challenge?
It very much was, and it was kind of my understanding of the use of tax credit development work that we were using on the housing side. I looked around and thought, there's other tax credits in addition to these credits that could be used to redevelop this campus. And that vision I had in early 2016 really came together whenever we found out that General Electric was releasing, well, I didn't say releasing, but running a request for proposal process to attract national developers to come and redevelop. They hired a broker, CBRE, out of Indianapolis to run a process for them. And it was through that process that I met my other development partners that really had the expertise on using various complex financial models and capital stacks, including tax credits, to do this kind of redevelopment. And my partner Josh has kind of built a career on doing this around the country. So it was that outside expertise that came to Fort Wayne that helped. It was me with some local knowledge and understanding here, kind of the local climate, and also my ability to stomach development that is far outside the typical norm, which is this kind of tax credit development. So that's what kind of drew me into this. And then
it partly the challenge?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Whenever the vision was finally shared, I tell people, once you know, you can't unknow.
Right.
And once I really understood the vision, the challenge that existed here, but also the economic benefit for Fort Wayne, Indiana, that this could produce, you just couldn't walk away from it. That's what kept us really dedicated through the nearly half a decade that it took to bring this kind of to full fruition.
So one is economic benefit, but probably parallel is that human cultural community benefit. That's fascinating.
So it's deeply intertwined. And understanding that relationship is, I believe, where the true success happens. Because this is far more than just an interesting real estate development. That's what I think a lot of the public kind of sees on the surface as we've delivered the space. But it runs so much deeper than that. It's programming and the activity that is going to happen here from the human element that is what's going to really drive the success from an economic standpoint here on this campus.
So it will have the sense of a village, a sense of a community.
Very much, absolutely. The live, work, play, learn kind of aspect here. Yeah.
That's really cool. And it's one thing to cast your net around the county, But I imagine your hope is to draw people from wherever. Far away, across the country.
Across the country, and literally, Tom, across the globe.
Mm-hmm.
It's been really interesting to hear perspectives from not only outside Indiana, around the country, but even internationally when we've had people come and visit this campus and mm-hmm. comparing how incredible this is compared to Stockholm or Beijing and different campuses around the world. And we really do want to put this campus on a global stage.
And what's interesting, looking in from the outside, there's almost a rural sense. You know, small town sense. You're not surrounded by high rises at all. You're surrounded by old residential neighborhoods. So you're very much embedded in the neighborhood setting.
Yeah,
not
absolutely.
An urban setting.
Very approachable. People visit here and they say, man, I just, there's such a sense of ease here. Like, you know, I've come from Chicago and, you know, I'm yeah. like you said, that urban environment, there's just kind of this high-strung tension,
yeah.
which a lot of people feed off of
oh, yeah.
in certain sense, which, hey, that's great,
yeah.
but this setting here creates an environment that is really compelling to people, and mm-hmm. I think coming through what we just did through COVID, it makes this even more attractive for people that say, I'm done with kind of that fray.
Yeah.
Bring me to where I can kind of really have some mm-hmm. peace in my life and enjoy and still be feel like I'm completely engaged.
That's really cool. Ideal live work. Okay. What are you holding back? What do you want to share? Something you haven't thought of?
I really want to share, and I'm excited to take you on the tour of the campus
uh-huh.
because that's where people really kind of get the vision,
get
and
it,
so
yeah.
I'm excited about that,
well,
too.
Let's do that.
Yeah, love
okay.
to.
To learn more about your world.
Sure. Biggsgroup.org mm-hmm. is my corporate website, mm-hmm. and we are kind of a three main components to my business. There's the construction company that provides the activities for the home building,
mm-hmm.
also constructs the multifamily side. We have the property management I mentioned earlier. And then we have the development that really leads in the sharp end of the spear for all three entities to come together. So that's kind of the synergies that we've created within my organization.
That's a train coming by.
Yes, it is.
Background, huh?
Yeah, we've yeah. got a train right here just on the north side of the property, and it just adds a little ambiance.
You queued it right on schedule, huh? All right, so once again, your name?
Kevin Biggs. I spell my first name a little different. It's Kevan Biggs. Biggs Group is the company, and actually my office is right behind me. If you look at the upper bridge here between
yeah.
building 26
yeah,
and 19,
yeah.
that's part of my office.
Oh, cool.
And happy to drop in there on the tour, and we can show you my space.
We'll do that. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from the future in Indiana. We'll see you here.
So we're in the co-working space of Electric Works. We're in the basement of Building 19. And in this space, there are about 83 office spaces that we lease out.
83 different businesses?
83 different cubicle offices. And some businesses take two or three if they need to. But this is by the month, so it's super low barrier to entry. People can get in here if you're just a startup and one person and you're working out of the bedroom of your house and you want to get into they got access to the lounge area here. There's a little business center on the other side of this wall. I'm just going to walk you down the hall here so you can kind of see what conference rooms like. We have a bank that's occupying that one. Here's a small office that a realtor's taken in the neighborhood so he can get out of his home. Here's this advertising company. They've taken this little cluster of three different office spaces. They got a studio. You can tell a very diverse, different mix of folks down here. And then if they continue to grow, they grow out of this space that we have what's called work-ready suites that are larger spaces and we will lease by the year. So again, flexible, not a huge commitment.
You could come in here for 3 months if you wanted.
Yeah, you could come in here for 3 months if you wanted to and test the waters and all of a sudden you get a contract. You're like, I got to hire four more people. Well, we'll grab a couple more cubes or we'll pop you up the work-ready suites. I'm going to take you all the way up the rooftop. Take a look at the rooftop space on Building 19, which has some great views.
The initial renovation of the project of the Bones, was that city funded?
There were public funds as part of the full capital stack, but it wasn't all public, private partnership.
So is it the city, county, private consortium? Who owns it?
So it's actually a private group. Myself and a few other partners own the campus mm-hmm. and have redeveloped it, and we used a number of different funding sources, both public and private, to fund the redevelopment. Well, here we are up on the rooftop. A little windy. It's blown a couple of our pillows around here a little bit, but let's take a little walk, taking a few views here, Tom. This is one of my favorite parts of the tour, and a lot of people feel the same. It kind of gives you a perspective of the campus, a little different from down below.
Yeah.
We've got two rooftop spaces. We're standing on the one here. Then if you look over here to the left, on the top of Building 26 is another rooftop area that's almost identical to this. And these spaces are essentially common space to the tenancy on the campus. So anybody that's renting can come up here and enjoy this rooftop, have a lunch, have a meeting.
It's like a city park in a way.
Yeah. It's not public. These aren't, you can't lease these.
And over there, a whole another wing.
A whole nother phase. That's part of the campus that we acquired back in 2017. We call that East Campus. So everything east of Broadway is a future phase that we'll work on here in the future.
Is it more of the same, or is it more targeted, specific? What's going to happen there in your mind? Anyway?
It will be some of the same activity here. Some we won't try to replicate. We won't try to replicate the co-working that we were just in downstairs. We probably won't try to replicate, you know, the food hall that you'll see here later on the tour. Probably be a little more housing on this side, but there'll be other office and businesses that will work in there, some retail. The housing that we're focused on right now, I was talking earlier about this, is going to surround the parking garage. So you see the gravel here between Union Street and the, I was talking about the big blank concrete wall.
Yeah.
So the apartments will wrap the garage on the west side here around to the north. And then there's another freestanding building over here on where you see this development site that will front Broadway.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, so it'll kind of shield that. 296 apartments, both market rate and affordable. Fourth floor of Building 19, and we're going to walk down the corridor here. You'll see some spaces for future leasing activity here, over here on my left. And we get down the corridor a little further, I'll show you some of the examples of these work-ready suites that are, again, kind of a graduation from the basement. People can come up here if they need a little more space. And again, these are a yearly lease commitment on the work-ready suites. So we'll pop into one of these spaces and take a quick peek. Getting some fit up for some future tenants to move in. Looks like, yeah, we're already opened here. So yeah, you can see everything's ready to go. It's basically just add furniture. Around the corner, there's two private offices, another one right here. You know, you can have some cubicles out in the middle. You've got your refrigerator, a little break area. Really simple and easy to move in. And we can customize all the services around this, too, if you want to have it cleaned. You want fresh coffee every morning. Like, we can supply all those services as well.
It's interesting. I love how you didn't do a T-bar drop ceiling there, but it's not.
Yeah. We really tried to preserve as much of the cool, historic, industrial vibe in these spaces. And
that kind of honesty is showing the guts.
Yeah, exactly. So I'll show you more of that kind of interesting feature in my office right around the corner here. And you can see a space that's fully fit out into office furniture. I've got a neighbor that moved in here about 4 months ago, and he was a great example of first graduates. He started November, December last year, quickly outgrew that space. So he brought his team up, and he's right here at the end of the hall in this work-ready suite. I bump into Jim all the time.
This is where you hang out?
Most of the time. I still have our offices down in Decatur, where we existed for over 60 years. We keep our construction team down there, as well as finance. But up here in this space, we've moved property management and development. We've got about 25 to 30 desk spaces up here for team members. We've got property management is the main function of these folks. We've got, and then we also have a few team members here that are focused in our development work that we do as well. My favorite part of the space here, Tom, the bridge. So,
This is your bridge.
This out earlier.
Back in the day, it blew on through, right?
It did. So the brick right there underneath the TV in that center space, infill. So our anchor tenant, Do It Best Corporation, you can see their signage right here on Building 26. Top three floors of this building, about a third of the first floor, then all the basement. And so their executive suites are right on the other side of that.
This is all corporate. They don't do shipping or anything.
Exactly. It's 100% headquarters. The reason they were moved from Fort Wayne to New Haven about 50 years ago was to put them on a rail hub for distribution. But about 10 or 15 years ago, they ceased all distribution operations there, now have distribution points around the country. So they were looking for a new headquarter only, and so they became our anchor tenant here and moved in back in December.
Did you make the connection?
Actually, one of my partners was really the key driver, Larry Wygand. helped us make that connection with this group and their CEO group back in November last year. And by Christmas, we had a LOI and lease signed with them. Drove the deal forward. They were a huge part of the success of getting the final financing to come together for this project.
And it's probably one of those momentum builders. Having an anchor with such a name recognition
absolutely
makes it easier for you to sell more.
It sure does. Yeah. We couldn't have asked for a better partner in an anchor tenant than Do It Best. They've been really wonderful.
Day to day, you're in-house more than out. Windshield time driving around.
Because we cover the footprint I mentioned, I'm out and about in surrounding counties a fair amount as well. But when I'm not out and about, I love spending my time here and sharing the campus for folks like you and future tenants. And an area here that is a future tenant space that isn't leased yet, but they're kind of using this for some staging right now for other work activities. But we're going to shortcut down this far corridor here so we can get over into the GE Club and the gym. Come on through these doors and we'll walk down. Tom, we're walking into a new construction infill piece here between two historic buildings. And to my left, I'm going to walk you into the old historic GE Club.
This is vintage.
Yeah, this is a really special part of the campus. We're so lucky that they kept the air. It was heated. This is one of the only conditioned buildings on campus that GE kind of kept the power to, and it helped preserve the floor. This is the original floor.
Wow.
It's been redone, resurfaced here.
Maple.
Yep, maple basketball floor.
Is it a spring?
Yeah, it's like any other old historic gymnasium here that you find in Indiana. There used to be the historic seats that lined down both sides of the sideline. We couldn't keep them because they weren't code compliant. We just kept these for historical significance. It really kind of tells the story of what this gym was like back in the day.
So that was like intercollegiate within GE departments that would play here?
And also inter kind of industrial leagues. So, you know, Harvester had a huge manufacturing facility over on the other side of town. And so there was these GE versus Harvester. All kinds of activities happened in here. Former employees tell me how they would come here for Christmas and they'd have Santa Claus up on the stage and the kids would come up and get their Tonka trucks. They used to have boxing here.
Oh, wow.
If you look up, see the coiled reel in center court?
Yeah.
That's where the mic came down. Uh-huh. They set up the boxing ring here. And so a lot of incredible history.
In any movies in here?
You know, not to my knowledge, but I had a handful of people when we were just bought the campus and giving people tours. I had a fellow that did some producing out in California wanting to do a remake of Hoosiers in here.
Oh, cool.
We just couldn't quite get it all put together, but definitely has that feel. So I want to show you the surprise in the basement. School buses out front, right around the corner down here. One of the first tenants that took possession on the campus was last year this time. Fort Wayne Community Schools has developed a brand new concept, a high school that is focused on the STEAM disciplines, science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. Kiddos just started about a week ago for the second, leading the second year here.
This is cool.
Here's the surprise in the basement. We've got bowling alley. This, again, was part of the rec facility.
This is going to be renovated?
Yeah, so our plan here is we've got 12 lanes right now. We're going to keep the four center lanes here between the column bays.
Mm-hmm.
These will be new pin setters, and we'll keep kind of the historic ball returns.
Yeah.
So we'll have bowling as an activity down here, but also this will become kind of a fun, cool speakeasy bar restaurant.
So why constrict the number of lanes?
So we wanted to have more than just bowling be offered here. So over here on the right side, this is kind of where the large bar will be constructed, have a kind of cool little private speakeasy room in the back. On the far side, we want to make room for some other activities. We'll probably have some billiard tables, maybe some darts and things like that. So
really cool.
Definitely we wanted bowling to still be a component of it, but we think we can offer more here and it'll be even a greater attraction. Let's keep hustling here. I want to get you over to the market, which is a really important part of the campus that I think you'll enjoy. A little different way out and out the back door. We'll go up these back stairs. So we're going to backtrack a little bit here and come around building 19. Again, we were on the rooftop. Probably have to pause here with the wind. It's going to get a little cold. And building 20 is actually the oldest building on West Campus. If you look at the very top of the gable, the building's identified by its number 20 at the top.
Yeah.
And then just under that, you see 1907, and that was the date that this building was constructed, which was after some of the buildings over here on East Campus that date back to about 1893, are the oldest ones on campus. So building 20 is the east hall of the Union Street Market. We'll actually go into the center doors here and explore the market next year. And this space we're walking through now, Tom, is called Dynamo Alley. So it's kind of the main spine that runs through the campus. And the dynamo was the early invention here that preceded the generator, symbolizes energy. And so that's why we call this Dynamo Alley. Okay, so we just walked into the area between East and West Hall. We call this the arcade. And this is a real popular pedestrian corridor that bridges the Dynamo Alley that we just walked from to the main parking, which you saw the parking garage from the roof deck, is just through that tunnel and to the right. So you can come out of the parking garage, have a covered experience through that tunnel right into the arcade.
When is the busiest time? Weekends?
Weekends are very busy. Saturdays get real popular, especially when we have the farmers market from, I think it's 11 to 3 on Saturdays. I might not have the hours right, but very popular.
I love your ceiling there.
Yeah, the wood ceilings. And so come inside here and check out the crane rails that still exist here in the West Hall. So now we're walking into building 22. This building was used to manufacture transformers. And I love this space because there's so much light. You can just tell walls of windows in this space. Kept a lot of the cool industrial vibe here. This is one of two giant cranes that we've kept. You can see it has a 5-ton capacity per crane. It's just amazing. But now it serves as our food hall. This is more of the prepared foods. We've got about, I think, 8 restaurants in here, so folks can come in for lunch and have a wide variety.
Spaces are all sold out, right?
We are 100% on the West Hall. We've got a couple spaces that are still available in the East Hall that we've got some folks working right now to populate. We introduced this mezzanine, this upper level, through the redevelopment process, so we have restrooms up above. And then there's also a cool demonstration / teaching kitchen up in the corner, up on the mezzanine. So these different spaces can also be leased out for private events, especially the teaching kitchen and the end of the mezzanine. That seems to be a popular place that people want to come and have activities, events, meetings.
What's the ceiling material? Is that poured in place?
That is a poured in place concrete, and I could never figure out how GE came up with this design, because as you can see, it's inverted. Yeah, I could never get any of the historians to explain to me what the methodology of this roof structure and why it was designed the way it was designed. I'm not exactly sure the date of this building, but it must have been shortly after building 20.
You had some daring engineers, architects that were involved.
Absolutely, and one of the interesting aspects of that is I found some old photographs of building 19, which was the one we were on the rooftop, and 26, which is its sister building over here. Both of them are about 250,000 feet each.
Wow.
So to think about that construction project going on in Fort Wayne, Indiana, 500,000 square feet was pretty astonishing. The methods of construction and what they had at the time, the old steam shovels and manual labor to get that done, kind of hard to get your head wrapped around.
Yeah.
But we'll end our tour in the space called the Forum. Kind of similar to the arcade that I pointed out here is this kind of primary corridor from get to the north side of the campus into Dynamo Alley, and the Forum is that primary access point to get from the south side of the campus. Our proximity and to transportation and to major markets, we're really blessed with how we're positioned and have such close proximity.
It's another attraction for somebody wanting to live here.
Absolutely.
It's more that literal community, neighborhood.
You bet. People that are in future apartments here can literally walk 5 minutes to go to the doctor's office, pick up their prescriptions, stop in the Union Street Market, grocery shop at the Fresh Produce. Mm-hmm. So we really have all the different elements here that we want to have. It's a little city within a city.
And where are you relative to the city in the airport?
Airport, about 15 minutes to the south here by car. And downtown is just a walk away here.
So you literally can walk.
We're on basically the south edge of the Central Business District. Mm-hmm. And as this continues to build out, we feel this will literally become part of downtown. There's always kind of been this stigma of the railroad tracks kind of defined down.
The other side of the
tracks. The other side of the tracks. Well, yeah, when you've got, you know, 40 acres of real estate you control down here, you can move the needle there and kind of redefining what the downtown feels like.
That's so cool.
I just want to tell you, this has been really enjoyable.
Mutual.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah. Great getting to know you, Tom, and looking forward to maybe doing something here in the future.
I would be honored anytime.
Good. We got that whole other phase over here. You got to come back when we get that done and do an element on that too.
to learn more about your world.
FortWayneElectricWorks.com will share more about the campus here. My firm, BiggsGroup.org, you can learn more about my company. And my name again, Kevin Biggs, owner president of the Biggs Group.
Kevin, thanks for sharing. This has been a great morning.
Same here.
And I'm your host, Tom Wilmer, reporting from Fort Wayne, Indiana. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station.